Real sports talk for real sports fans. It's Jimmy B and TC. Here's Jim and Trent.
All right, everybody. It's our second hour as we take you all the way to 6 o'clock. Jim and Trent. You know, it's interesting because the big talk now on Twitter is all about Rob Gronkowski. He has officially been cleared to play. He says, I'm cleared and ready to roll. Trent, we all knew that he was going to be cleared and ready, but I guess now that the doctors have made it official, now it's the big breaking story.
Yeah, it's no surprise. I don't think there was anybody out there that anticipated he wasn't going to be part of what we see out there on the field on Sunday. So, yeah, absolutely not a surprise. But in today's day and age, Jimmy B, you always have to be a little bit careful when you're talking about concussions. You never know. And things are, they're a lot different. Football is different, and the impact of injuries like that are certainly different than, well, even for me 20 years ago, for you 50 years ago, when we were playing football. It's different. It is different because, Jim, it was, you got your bell rung. I mean, I heard those terms.
Yeah.
You got your bell rung.
Oh, yeah.
All right, here's
yeah.
some smelling salts.
Yeah.
Get back out there. You'll be fine.
Yep.
Not anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's a good thing. And the future of this sport, look, I love football. I love the game. I love the camaraderie that comes along with it, going out to a sports bar, watching it, going to tailgate.
Yep.
You know, all the extra things. Super Bowl party this weekend. I'm so excited, Jimmy B., having a Super Bowl party at my house. I'll be in my chair. I'll have my remote. People can do whatever they want to do, but I can control things the way that I want to, as opposed to going to somebody else's house. So I'm very excited about that, Jimmy B. But I love it. That's football, and that's, in a way, Americana. But the game, it's going to look different. And we'll talk about the game a lot more tomorrow, certainly. But
yeah.
I mean, what do you think about it, the future of the sport, and what we're going to see in the changes? We look at Tom Brady as he gets ready to start the Super Bowl at the age of 40. Unheard of before. Mm-hmm. And we had George Blanda way back in the day,
yes.
But that was also
right.
the end of his career as a kicker, and it was a different era. But at least in my reference point through the 80s and 90s, a guy lasting this long and playing at this kind of level, it wouldn't happen. But now, because of the way that they protect quarterbacks, those advancements, you wonder how much further down the road this can go.
I'm with you, and I'm still sure that their competition committee is going to look at ways that they can still try to make the game at least a little bit safer. Look, you still get some serious collisions. You still get guys that take shots to the head. That's why Gronkowski was out with that concussion, because of a helmet-to-helmet hit to the head. So, I mean, it still happens. You can't have a cop out on the field saying, whoop, you got to stop there, son. You're going to hit him in the head.
Yep.
That's just not going to happen. And look, why do we love football? We love it for the spectacle, for the speed, for the eloquence of the athletes. And Trent, people like it for the brutality as well.
Yes. Yeah. Your head's buried in the sand if you don't believe that's also a part of it. What plays into the love of the game, certainly, I believe I'm right there with you. I think that's a big, big part of it. So, Jim, we talked earlier in the program. We just finished up talking with Matt Nelson from Wide Right Natty Light. We'll also preview the weekend here across the state. Still, even with the win from Iowa, the win from Iowa State, the other two teams in our state, the struggles continue. Last night, you and I loses again, this time to Evansville. And, boy, what's going on with Ben Jacobson's group? They are now tied for last place in the MVC.
Yeah.
This is a team that beat NC State, going to be probably an NCAA tournament team. They beat SMU. Mm-hmm. At the very least, they're going to be a bubble team. The best team in the country, Villanova, they're in that game the last 5 minutes, going down to the wire
right.
with them. And now they can't get out of their own way. They continue to pile up losses, now 3-8 in the conference. And it looks like they might be accepting an early invitation to the Drake Invitational.
They appear to be taking that spot from Drake, although Drake is going to have to get going here
yes.
again, because they have kind of hit rock bottom as well. Trent, how disappointing would this be? The Drake Invitational has Drake and you and I.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
It could be a little bit of fun if they're playing each other. At least we'll be guaranteed a team in the quarterfinals.
A team in the quarterfinals. Okay, fair enough. I guess you could look at it from that standpoint.
Boy,
fair
they
enough.
Played. Okay. It was a long time ago. I don't even think I had transferred to UNI yet. I think I was still at Iowa, and I was visiting, though, my sister at UNI at the time. And I think Drake and UNI, they played in the MVC tournament on that opening night, if my memory serves correct. Back, we're talking late 90s, maybe early 2000s. It's been a long, long time since we saw something like that. We've seen them play in the quarterfinals before, but not in that opening round, at least to my memory. And Jimmy B, I kind of look at it this way. You look at Ben Jacobson and his resume. This year has been a disappointing year, you'd have to say. Last year, a disappointing year. Year before that, they get into the NCAA tournament. They appear to pull an upset against Texas, on their way to do the same against Texas A&M. Instead, the collapse happens in the final minute of that game. I wonder, Ben Jacobson has created a lot of goodwill, but is this a time where, if there is an offer, he does listen a little bit more? If he's taken that program and he's not ready for another big rebuild in front of him, because that's probably what it's going to take again. You look inside, it's difficult to get a bunch of big guys at a place like UNI, and you're leaving Bennett Cook. There's no more Cook brothers that are going to be coming through the pipeline. Clint Carlson, his eligibility. If he does get a phone call from a major conference school, if this is a year to listen to it, and you just never know. You know, a lot of people say college sports, it's so cyclical. Coaches, they should always leave. It doesn't matter who you are, maybe short of Nick Saban. Every 7-8 years, you should be looking to move on. I wonder if that thought's starting to creep into the mind of Ben Jacobson.
I just wonder this, Trent, because you just referenced not only this season are they down, they were down last year. I wonder if some of that shine has come off as far as a school taking a good look at Ben Jacobson. I just wonder now that it has diminished because he's had back-to-back bad seasons. And I just wonder if he would even get a phone call from somebody. Look, I know what his resume says. You and I have seen it and seen his teams do magical things when they've gotten to the NCAA tournament. But as everybody knows, in today's world, it's what have you done for me lately? Mm-hmm. And lately has not been good to Ben Jacobson.
It hasn't. It hasn't.
No.
Last year. Now, even last year, they finished tied for third in the conference. Ben Jacobson, in fact, has never finished worse than fifth in the MVC. We're talking pretty sustained, long track record of success here. This year does not look like they're going to finish in the top five, though. And if that's the case, I don't know. It's something to keep an eye on, though, I think. And you wonder, and what can he do next? You know, you got to have a little bit of luck in there. You got to get the right guys that come in. And if you don't at a place like UNI, it's not a ready-made program. It's not a program that has a whole lot of talent, D1 talent up in the area. And at best, you're playing third fiddle in your own state. And that plays a part of it, too. So just a thought that had crept into my mind as I was watching another ugly loss last night. Offensively, they just really struggled. I don't know. We will see.
They didn't even score 50 points last night, Trent. Didn't even get to 50.
They did not. And well, I watched it, Jim. I saved you the trouble of that one.
Thank you. Thank you for that. I appreciate it.
Do not go back and watch that one again.
I won't. Hey, I'm really upset over this story here.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. You know who the Red Panda is, right?
Yeah, of course. The Red Panda, she's the lady that spins plugs on her head or whatever,
riding the unicycle?
Yeah.
She was changing, I guess, getting off the plane in San Francisco, and some guy stole...
What?
It's an international incident. They have pictures of this bozo walking away with the Red Panda's unicycle.
Oh, no. Poor Red Panda. How is she going to do this? That crazy
machine. She can't. Yeah, she can't flip the plates on her head being 15 feet in the air riding a unicycle. Come on. That's just terrible.
Maybe she can find another unicycle. I mean, there's got to be more unicycles out there, right? Or is that thing custom built for her?
I'm sure it's custom built for her. I mean, you just can't go to a rent-a-store and say, hey, you got a unicycle?
Very true. We'll take the time out. We're talking Hawkeyes next, HawkeyeHeaven.net and Troy Weiss.
We talk sports on 1700 with Jimmy B and TC, Des Moines' savviest sports duo on The Big Talker, 1700 KVGG.
Jimmy B and TC continues on here until 6 o'clock tonight. Time to talk a little Hawkeyes as HawkeyeHeaven.net joins us. Our conversation's presented by Murphy Tower. Service online at murphytower.com. Job offerings happening right now along with their apprenticeship program. Go to murphytower.com and find out how you can earn while you learn. murphytower.com. Jimmy B., time to talk with Troy Wyman.
Good afternoon to you, and let's kind of quickly relive a little bit on how Iowa's basketball team kind of found itself again, at least for one game, on the home court in the win over Minnesota. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it was a great game all around, really, for the Hawkeyes, which is it's tough to say this season. They did give up 80 points in the game against Minnesota, but on the surface, it looked like their most complete game. You saw six guys score in double figures. You know, Jordan Bohannon continues to impress. Tyler Cook does his thing, and then a slew of other guys like Luka Garza, Cordell Pemsel, Nicholas Bear, Isaiah Moss, they all were able to get going a little bit. But, you know, it's one of those games that's very far and few between. Like we said, they're 3-8 in the Big Ten, down in the bottom three. Only Illinois and Rutgers is behind them. So it was good to see them come out and actually play really cohesively as a team was the word I said. It was very cohesive, and at times it's been maybe too much Cook or too much Bohannon or just not enough defense for most of the season. But they put together really one of their most complete performances of the season and got a rare Big Ten victory. So you got to appreciate any of those that you get from the Hawkeyes this season.
Troy, if I would have told you before the year that Tyler Cook would be up in scoring average, rebounds, assists, blocks, you would see Jordan Bohannon's numbers increase from what he put together as a freshman. I think you would assume it, and you put Luka Garza in the mix as top five in the Big Ten in freshman scoring, the leading rebounder for a freshman in the Big Ten. How good would you have thought this Hawkeye team was?
Well, I would have thought they'd be competing with the Michigan States and the Purdues of the world, quite honestly. Purdue's ranked number three. They potentially are one of the best teams in the country. They're ranked number three for a reason. I know they're playing in the Big Ten on a down year, but that's a really, really good team. Same goes for Michigan State. They got a lot of good players. There's other stuff going on in the program, but on the court, they're a fantastic team. And had you told me Bohannon and Cook each step their game up the way they have, then I would say Iowa has to be the third best team in the conference just going off of those metrics.
So what's gone wrong then in your mind, Troy? As you look at this season and the frustrations, there's a lot of different things. Obviously, defensively has been a big culprit that we've talked about a lot here. But when you look back upon this season and sitting at 12-12 right now, what are the main things that you look at that has led to the struggles this year?
Well, like you said, defense has to be number one. It seems that even teams that don't shoot very well, they come into Iowa City or the Hawkeyes go there, and you hear the announcers or whoever say, oh, the so-and-so team just put up a season high in three-pointers made, and you wonder, you know, does that just happen? Or does Iowa get unlucky? But I think those other teams have scouted out the defense very well, and they found open shots, and they've exploited it. Iowa ranks 300th in the nation in points allowed per game, so obviously that's not good at all. But I think the main thing to keep in mind is, yeah, the defense is bad, and there's been this whole Fire Fran movement, because it's year eight and we should be better than we are. The teams that Fran McCaffrey has traditionally had that are really good are full of juniors and seniors. This team has one senior in Dom Ewell, a couple juniors in Bear, and Ahmad Wagner, who are really role-playing guys. They're not going to be the top scorers or the top rebounders of the team, but they play hard and do what's asked of them. So I think that's just, unfortunately, Hawkeye fans were so in love with Cook and with Bohannon last season and the prospect of what Isaiah Moss could turn into, that we expected him to make too big of a jump too quickly. We're now without Peter Jock, who is another player that apparently the Big Ten leading scorer apparently was a big player last year. We sort of took him for granted, I think, because we thought Moss and Bohannon would step up. But as this season's gone, we've realized that this team is still young. They start, I believe it's three sophomores, the freshman, and then Nicholas Barrett Jr. So it's a very young team, and there's a huge learning curve that goes on when you're playing Big Ten basketball. And there are a ton of injuries at the beginning of the season with Connor McCaffrey, who's just had an unfortunate spell of bad health recently he can't do anything about. Nicholas Baer missed a few games. Cordell Pemsel missed a few games. Kreener and Ellingson are both in concussion protocol. So there's just been multiple factors, but really I just think it's the inexperience of the team, and fans maybe expected too much and too big of a jump from their freshman seasons to now.
Troy, that's well said, and fan base has fallen off. There weren't a lot of people at that game for Minnesota. Do you expect, even if they get a couple of wins against the teams that are coming up on their schedule, Penn State, that fans might return? Can they get students to show up, or do you think people pretty much have sort of cashed it in with only about 6-7 games left?
That's tough. I think there's multiple factors, I think, that go into Tuesday night's game. Is one, it was at 8 o'clock on a Tuesday, so obviously that's, you're not going to get a ton of fans in the door. I myself was at the game. I was reporting for student radio, and I had an 8:30 class the next morning. If I wasn't reporting, I probably wouldn't have gone. But there's a couple games, still very winnable games on the schedule. Obviously, Michigan State coming in probably draws a decent crowd. Just the prospect of maybe being able to knock off a top team that's going to run through a tough part of their schedule right now. I hope that the fans do go and do continue to root for that team, because we've seen fans on Twitter that call out Jordan Bohannon, or they've tweeted at Connor McCaffrey and Patrick McCaffrey about the team. And I just completely disagree with that, because I've seen multiple games this season where this Hawkeye team, yes, they're struggling, and they know they're struggling. Like, we don't have to tell them that. They know that they're not having the season that they thought they would have and that others thought they would have. So as the season continues to progress, they have continued to fight. I've seen that they won that Illinois game that they really probably should not have won, but they just never hung their heads and they didn't give up. In what you can think of as Purdue, when you're down 31 at half, your energy level is going to decrease a little bit because we're all humans. But in every other game, they've been high energy. They've been hustling. They've been trying as hard as they can. And I think Iowa fans have to appreciate that it's so easy when the season goes downhill to throw in the towel and say, well, we'll try again in the off season and going into next season. But these guys fight every single game, and so you never really know when they're going to put together a complete performance against a very formidable opponent, like maybe against Michigan State coming up in about a week and a half. So I hope the fans do continue to come out, because I really think the individuals on that team, they deserve to have the Iowa fans and Hawkeye Nation behind them.
Talking right now with Troy Wyman from HawkeyeHeaven.net as he joins us. Our conversation presented by Murphy Tower Service. Troy, with that mentioned, kind of looking forward with this squad, I wanted to get your thoughts. Fran McCaffrey, obviously the future. Last week it became reported by Scott Dockerman of Land of 10 that a contract extension had been given 2 months ago, right after the loss to Virginia Tech. We've said our pieces here, Jimmy B and myself, but your thoughts over there in Iowa City and how that's played inside the university and inside the walls.
Well, inside the university, I'm not sure how, you know, the higher-ups feel about it. Obviously, they are endorsing Fran McCaffrey, which I think there's a general consensus between level-headed fans that's probably okay. It might have been a little bit too much money. But what Fran McCaffrey's done in his 8 years in the program is exceptional, because he brought this team up in this program from some of its worst days, quite frankly. And he's turned it into a team that's made a few NCAA tournaments, won a few games, and have become, at times, a national contender. They were ranked number 3 in the country at one point just a few years ago under Coach McCaffrey. So the consensus of the extension, for the most part, is okay. Some fans are obviously not okay with it because it's in the middle of a season that hasn't gone as planned. But not many people are okay with it being hidden and sort of not being publicized, because then it just seems like you're hiding something. Mm-hmm. And this, especially when the extension was given in November, this was before the season went wrong, everybody would have said great move. If they made that public, everybody would have said, oh, wonderful move by Gary Barta and the athletic program. Fran McCaffrey's done great things. This season's going to be great. And I think everybody would have been perfectly fine with it. Now when it gets leaked later on in the season, when the team's 12-12 and struggling, then it's, you know, you're dealing with some muddy waters there. So I don't understand the reason for keeping it private, but I understand why they made the extension when they did. And I don't think I'm alone in that. I think that's the general consensus of everybody initially scratching their heads at it when they found out, but it's such a sticky situation that it's hard to get the whole fan base's ideas wrapped into just one take.
Let me just follow up on that, because there have been reports that under Gary Barta's watch, apparently, after he cost the university $7 million, that some of the things that were prescribed for the university have not yet been instituted, or things aren't really changing that much. Can you explain maybe then why Barta is so-called not on the hot seat?
In my personal opinion, I think Gary Barta probably should be on the hot seat, but I'm not really sure, honestly. I think that he's made some questionable decisions, to put it lightly. Obviously, I'm still a student at this university. I don't want to talk bad too much about everything, but yeah, you know, somebody gets a hold of that, and all of a sudden, I'm not allowed to go to class anymore. Or I'm no longer enrolled. But
no, dude, you're just having an honest opinion here. Honest opinion.
What's that?
That's all. Honest opinion, that's all.
Honest opinion, there's been some very questionable decisions made by the higher-ups in the athletic department. Like I said, the extension of Fran McCaffrey, I agree with. Keeping it quiet, I don't agree with. And then the stuff from the lawsuits with the Jane Meyer situation, it's hard to say. For me as an outsider, I think some of it's very there were some questionable moves made by the athletic department, and I think they're dealing with it now. But again, I endorse the Fran McCaffrey extension, but not the keeping it quiet part.
Troy Whiteman, Hawkeye Heaven, joining us here. Troy, good catching up with you. Good conversation. Really enjoyed it. What are you guys working on over at Hawkeye Heaven right now?
Well, right now, I guess, you guys know, a lot of us from Black and Cardinal Divide and Cody and Derek Peck, the Peck brothers, we sort of merged, and we're trying to just bring new original content to Hawkeye fans. You know, I generally write a game recap, whether I'm able to attend the game or just watch at home. Miles Klotz likes to do previews. We've got people other writers going out and talking to Cole Crofton, Riley McCarron, James Ferentz of the Patriots as they prepare for the Super Bowl. So we've reached out to a handful of former and future Hawkeyes. We had an interview with Joe Weiskamp that's currently on our site at HawkeyeHeaven.net. So really, it's a nice deal that we're doing, trying to expand that Hawkeye Heaven brand that so many people know from Facebook, and we're trying to expand it more to other social media areas, Twitter, namely. We're thinking about moving to Instagram hopefully soon, and of course, with our webpage, it's a place for prospective writers like myself and other students at the university a chance to get our work published, show potential employers maybe what we can do, how well we can write, and like I said, all in the process, it just brings Hawkeye content to Hawkeye fans, and hopefully they all enjoy it.
Great stuff. Hey, Troy, as always, appreciate you giving us a little time. You guys at Hawkeye have been doing a great job. We'll do it again soon, all right?
Yeah, sounds good. I appreciate it. It's been nice talking to you guys.
Troy Wyman, who joins us here on the program today. HawkeyeHeaven.net is the website, and our conversations with the guys over there presented by Murphy Tower Service. Earn while you learn with their apprenticeship program. You know, somebody in the market for a new job, a new career, check out murphytower.com. Jimmy B, it's Penn State this weekend. Iowa needs to find a way to get to probably 6 victories, I'd say, in the Big Ten to avoid Wednesday. Hey, here, I got a trivia question for you.
Okay, I'm ready, pal. Go ahead.
What year was the last time that Iowa's season, basketball season, finished before the month of March? Because if they play on that opening Wednesday of the Big Ten tournament, because the Big Ten tournament's up a week, they will be done on February 28th. What year, Jim Brinson, was the last time the Hawkeye season ended in February?
1973.
No. 1938. You were there. I was not.
I know.
Jim Brinson. We'll take a time out. We got more to come here. Ken Silverstein also to come later on this hour. Here with you until 6 o'clock. It's Jimmy B and TC on 1700 KBGG.
Welcome back, everybody. Final segment of the day as we take you up to the top of the hour. Ken Silverstein is our guest, Big Ten Conference Insider, NBA guru. He's got lots of things going on. Kenny, how are you? Is your head spinning?
My head is spinning, yes, and at my age, it's a very, very ugly sight.
Let's start first with the Big Ten. Purdue got a challenge last night from Michigan. Or I'm sorry, from Maryland, but they still found a way to win. Ken, is this the best Purdue team that you have seen in some time?
Yeah, I think it is the best team in a long time. I guess you have to qualify it and say, is it 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, whatever the cutoff may be. They are. At this point, it's tough to say because we haven't seen the brackets yet, and we're roughly, you know, 5-6 weeks, whatever, away from that. But the long and the short is that at this point they look to be at least an elite eight team, and I don't know. You could make an argument they're a Final Four club. They have backcourt, they have size, they have depth, they have coaching. The one thing you could probably say they're lacking is that one guy who is a top five, top ten NBA draft pick. I don't see anybody on their roster that fits that bill. The kind of guy that can win you one game or a couple games in a tournament, that can get you over the top, but maybe some others when the lights get really bright fizzle a little bit. I don't know if they have that, but they pretty much have everything else. And in a down Big Ten, they are by far the best team. They will beat up on Ohio State, which is the so-called matchup that some folks are looking forward to. That's coming up on, what, Wednesday the 7th, which is next Wednesday. That's at Mackey, and Ohio State is going to get destroyed, even though they're having a very good year. They can't play with Purdue. So Purdue's going to win this thing, and, you know, they're going to win. They should win the postseason tournament at Madison Square Garden, and then, you know, are they a number one seed? They may be. They may be. If not, they're a very high number two. But I think right now you could make an argument they are a number one seed.
They're playing very well, no doubt, Ken. And you have the other team that was anticipated to be right up there. That is Michigan State. But certainly a lot more happening off the court to talk about than what's happening on the court with the Spartans. And your man crush, Tom Izzo, in the crosshairs of a lot going on right now. How does this play out? It's a different environment now than 2010 when a lot of these things were going on.
Well, we could spend hours on this. This is not going to be resolved quickly, obviously. Look, I had someone say to me the other day, how comparable is this potentially to the Penn State fiasco with Jerry Sandusky? Look, Mark D'Antonio and Tom Izzo have a lot riding on this. And I have, and I don't think anybody else knows at this point what their fates are going to be at this point. But they got some explaining to do. And Izzo's not done a real good job of publicly, at least, expressing his thoughts. Let's leave it at that for the time being. D'Antonio has done a smidgen better job, but neither one of them, at least in my mind, has done a great job of expounding and answering questions. And whether or not they have been advised, which probably they have, either by legal counsel in Michigan State or whether or not their own people have said to them, this is what you need to say. You don't need to say any more at this point. But this is a nightmare for Michigan State. And I'll be curious to see what the NCAA does, whether scholarships are taken away down the road, whether or not one or both coaches are jettisoned, or whether or not one or both coaches are able to beat the posse, let's say, and save their gigs. Or gig singular. So this thing is long-term, not going to be resolved quickly, and has major ramifications, not only for Michigan State, but for college athletics in general. This is an understatement to say it's disgraceful. We'll leave it at that for the time being.
they had a sit-in, at least. Some students wanted to make sure that they were heard, and I thought they did a very good job of getting what they wanted out into the public. However, the board of regents didn't find it entertaining as they sat there stoic, Ken. Will they listen to a student body representative at all, or do they just don't care?
Well, look, I don't know the people, so it's hard to say, but you're right. They were more than stoic, which I don't think was a smart move. I mean, you got to go over the top here. I mean, you got to put this thing out, and the heads are going to roll here, okay? Now, I don't know if it's going to be Izzo and D'Antonio, but to have something this large and for those to put their head in the sand and be oblivious to what's going on, I can tell you one thing, and I don't have a daughter, but if I did have a daughter, I don't think she'd be going to Michigan State, okay? Now, some will say, well, you know, that's a little bit over the top. No, I don't think it's over the top. I think it's something you have to think about. There are other options. If in this example of a junior or senior in high school who wants to go to a Big Ten school, there are other options than going to Michigan State if you're a female at this point. And until this stuff is resolved, and until they figure out what happened, who's to blame, who needs more to be fired, what the sanctions potentially could be, not sure what they will be, not sure what the federal government's going to do, don't know what the Attorney General is going to do in Michigan, don't know what the NCAA is going to do. But one of those three bodies is going to do something. Because you can't not do something like this and say, well, you know, that was years gone by, and, well, those folks are no longer here, and, yeah, Nasser is going to be in jail, and they'll take him out in a box. And no, no, that's not going to do it. And Penn State, I don't think, is a bad example. I really don't. So we'll see. I mean, the NCAA could have and should have crushed Penn State, but they didn't get the death penalty. To me, to this day, is still one of the most befuddling things I've ever seen. Jim, you and I were around the fiasco at SMU in the 80s, a long time ago. And I know there's a hesitation with a capital H for the NCAA not to do that again. I get that to some extent. But Penn State was a blaring example, or glaring example, excuse me, of why, in my mind, it should have happened. And I'm not sure, we'll see, just how nasty, ugly this thing has been over the X amount of years at, in East Lansing. This is a nightmare, and I wonder if you're recruiting for Michigan State football and the second national signing day is coming up on Wednesday, or this continues down the road and you're looking at 19 recruits, whether it's basketball or football or whatever, and you go in to visit with mom and dad, you better have some really good answers. Because mom and dad, if they're smart, are going to have a lot of questions about what the hoot is going on, what has gone on, and what is the future at Michigan State.
Ken Silverstein joining us, a look around the Big Ten. We got a little more coming Ken's way. Want to get into some LeBron talk. Last thing on the Big Ten for me, though, Ken. Wanted to get your thoughts. Saw earlier today an article from the Chicago Sun-Times talking about Northwestern and their issues. And I thought a pretty damning quote from their point guard, Bryant McIntosh. He said, quote, "I kind of knew we weren't ready. We weren't really prepared to play a good team. We weren't mentally ready. I don't think we were in shape physically. I'm still not sure we're even really in shape now." It's February 1st. That's not good.
No, no. And you know what? I was watching, and you guys probably have seen it on BTN, the feature on last season's run to the NCAA, and it was well done by those that put it together. I highly recommend it. If you haven't seen it, it was a magical year. First, obviously, birth for the NCAA tournament for the Wildcats. To go from the excitement, the joy of last season to the disappointment at this point, basically a 500 club, at least overall, and what, a little bit underneath that, I guess, record-wise in the Big Ten, is, I don't know. I mean, it's not like they're a young club. Are they just still in last year's mindset, living off of that, and haven't woken up? Because it's basically the same team, basically. And to think of what they were able to do last year and to look at what they've done this year. I've seen them a couple times, and they're not very good. They don't score a bunch. They're not as bad as Rutgers when it comes to scoring, but I think you see where I'm going with this. They're not exactly a juggernaut offensively, and defensively, some nights they're okay, other nights they're not. And, yeah, those are damning quotes, and you have to wonder where those quotes being published, how that sits with Coach Collins, the strength and conditioning coach, and the rest of the staff. That cannot make a lot of those folks real happy. Whether it's truthful or not, it's probably not sitting real well on the desk of Coach Collins and everybody else involved in the program.
Ken Silverstein is our guest on the Big Talker 1700. All right, Ken, let's go to some of the things that have been keeping your head spinning in beautiful Cleveland. Let's start first with the NBA and the Cleveland Cavaliers getting called out in a players-only meeting, and then some of the things that came out of that meeting. Then the injury to Kevin Love. He's going to be out at least 6 weeks with a broken bone in his hand. What in the wide, wide world of sport is going on with this team?
It's great stuff. It's great theater. It really is. It's keeping all of us very busy. I was there, Love got hurt in Detroit. I was there last night for the ugly, even though they did win, Cleveland, the ugly affair against Miami in a very low-scoring NBA game in the low 90s. Trading deadline is a week from today, 3 o'clock Eastern. I think they'll make one move. I don't think it's going to be a major one at this point. With Love hurt, they can't trade him. I think Channing Frye would have been part of a deal. Now they can't trade him because he's now taking up some of the minutes for Love. So even their best laid plans get blown up because, in this case, Love got hurt the other night in downtown Detroit. So they have those issues. They have the LeBron off-season decision. The story today from Chris Haynes, who used to write in this town, and then went out to San Francisco to do the ESPN beat for Golden State. He did the same for the Cavaliers the last couple of years prior to that. So he's well-connected on the Cavaliers side and likewise on Golden State. LeBron to Golden State. Well, let's put it this way. If the Cavaliers know, and I don't know this, no one knows, and if they do, no one is saying, so my guess is no one knows at this point, that he is not going to come back, and you can work a sign-and-trade deal, and I'm going to the Haynes article of today on ESPN, and you can get someone like Klay Thompson. Now, Klay Thompson is not LeBron James, but if you're going to lose LeBron, and you can get Klay Thompson, a rumored Andre Iguodala's got a little bit still left in the tank. Maybe you get a draft pick out of him. It's a bird in the hand, boys. It's better than a bunch of feathers. It's better than nothing. Because if he walks and you get nothing for him other than salary relief, that ain't going to get it done. So a sign and trade is going to happen if he does leave. I just don't know if it's going to be Golden State. I said last week, my guess is, and this is strictly a guess, is that if I'm him, I'm looking at Houston. He's very tight, very, very, very tight with Chris Paul. Don't know how tight he is with the beard, to be honest with you, but he's real tight with Chris Paul. I know that to be gospel. And they're a winning club, and it's a big market, and that's somewhere where I think he might look at, but the downside of that is that if he goes to the West, you got to go through Golden State. And even with Harden and Paul and others, there's no guarantee you can beat Golden State. So my guess is on February 1st, which I guess it is today, that he will leave again. But I'm going to give myself a little wiggle room that I can change my mind. But as of February 1st, I think he will leave. But I don't think at this point it will be Golden State. You know, it made for good sports talk fodder around the country today.
Let's hope that's not the case. It would make the NBA, I think, even worse if we saw that. With that, Ken, we are out of time. Appreciate you as always. We'll talk again next week.
Look forward to it, guys. Have a good weekend.
Ken Silverstein joining us here. Look around the Big Ten and the LeBron news from today, Jimmy B.
I'm with you on that. I don't want to see that happen.
I despise Kevin Durant's decision to go to Golden State, and this would just make an already difficult product for me to enjoy even worse if this would turn out to be true. And this isn't going to happen, is it?
No. Okay. No, I don't see that. Even though that was brought up and rumored about that Golden State was trying to figure out a way where they could lure LeBron to come and play, I get all that. They might be doing that. I don't see him going there. I really don't. I think that Houston is a logical choice. And he and Chris Paul are boys. They go on vacations together. Their families do. I don't know if there's another team in the East where he would go unless it would be the Knicks, and just so he could play in New York, but they'd have to get at least a decent guard in there that they don't have right now, and he and Porzingis would be dynamite together, but I don't know if that still would get them over the hump to beat the Warriors with what the Warriors have right now, Trent.
Yeah, we will see on that one. Jimmy B, tonight, anything going on in your crappy NBA? The college slate isn't exactly outstanding. You know, Wisconsin Northwestern a year ago, that was much watch vision, and this year, not so much.
Yeah, no, you're right. There's a couple of things that I'll probably – I'm not. This is not a lock-in night. I am going to kind of sample a little bit Milwaukee and Minnesota. Because Jabari Parker is supposed to make his return for the Bucks, and Minnesota is playing solid basketball, 10 games over 500, and I like watching the T-Wolves play. I will peek in on Houston at San Antonio. I will take a look at that. And then the later game is OKC in Denver. And you know me, Trent, anytime I can get a chance to watch Russell Westbrook, that's a show in itself right there. So I will probably take a little glimpse at that. You're right about, I don't know, I'll probably look at Creighton Villanova little bit.
Yeah, that's the
I'll
one.
I'll probably look at that.
That's one that is up there. But, yeah, overall, just not a great slate. The good thing is tomorrow we have Super Bowl coverage for you here on Jimmy B and TC. We will give you 2 hours, our thoughts on the game. We'll have some fun with some prop bets and a whole lot more coming up on tomorrow's program. Myself and Ken from noon to 2, Jimmy B and TC then from 4 until 6, and then high school basketball tomorrow night. And one of the top prospects in the country, Xavier Foster and Oskaloosa, make their way to Norwalk to take on the Warriors. And I'll have the call for that one as well for you tomorrow evening. Until then, enjoy your sports night. We'll be back at it tomorrow starting at noon, all here on 1700 KBGG.